Well, I have something that the Lord has just kind of put on my heart. You know, I love it when the Lord really works in your heart and life, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. And so He's been really doing some good things in my heart and in my life, and I'd like to share a little bit maybe of that with you tonight. But before we get started, let's just have a quick little word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love You so much tonight, Lord. And God, we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You, Father, for the working, Lord, of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, God, Lord, that God, You are a God who just gets personal with us. And Lord, that You work deep down in the recesses of our hearts and our lives. And we thank You for that tonight. And God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that You would just help me to convey, Lord, what You've placed upon my heart here tonight. Lord, that it would challenge each one of us. And Father, Lord, that it would just help each and every one of us, Lord, to maybe have a little different perspective tonight on some things, Lord, my God. And Lord, we just ask for Your anointing, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Got a question for you tonight. And it's probably a stupid question. Someone once told me there's no stupid questions, only stupid people. But I don't think we have any stupid people here tonight. But to some of us, this might seem like, man, that's a stupid question. But my question is this. How many of you find it frustrating when you need to get somewhere and you run into a traffic delay or a detour? I'm going to be honest tonight. Does that frustrate anybody to me tonight? I know y'all ain't holier than me. Okay, so come on, let's get those hands up there, right? It trains, whatever. It can just frustrate you to no end. And sometimes, you know, no matter how much we hate detours, no matter how much we hate delays, somehow or another, we always find ourselves running into them, don't we? But they're there for a reason. Those delays, those detours are there for a reason. Sometimes we're being rooted around construction, or as I like to call them, a constriction zone. Sometimes we're being rooted around a serious accident. Sometimes there might be a road out that's up ahead that we're actually being routed around. And so when we go out and we endeavor to get somewhere, in our mind, you know, we want to go from point A to B, point B real quick and real easy. You know, really tonight, I just want to go up and stand behind that pulpit. That's where I want to go tonight. Wait a minute. Wow, that's frustrating. I can't go there. That's frustrating. I can't go there. Wow. I can't go up here. My goodness, I'm supposed to be there in 5 minutes. And look at this. I'm faced with a detour. I'm faced with something. I can't get where I need to be. Oh, but wait a minute. Oh, there's some detour signs. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to follow the detour signs. You don't see them, I do. But I'm going to follow the detour signs. And I'm going to find my way to be able to get to where I want to go. There has to be a way. There has to be a way that I can get there. I'm just going to follow these signs that someone put out here for me so that I can get where I want to go. Wow. Still can't get there. Whew. Now I'm 5 minutes late. This is not good. I'm 5 minutes late, and I still can't get to where I want. I might as well just give up and go home. generally speaking, we don't just give up and go home, do we? We have to be where we have to be. Well, I'm just going to keep following these signs. See what happens. I don't know. Just maybe somehow, some way here, these signs are going to lead me right. And I'm going to be able to detour around and really get to where I need to be. It's taking a little more time than what I anticipated. It's a little more time than what I planned on, but just maybe these signs are right. Just maybe this is the way that I can do this. Just maybe. Just maybe following those signs could lead me to where I want to go. Will you look at that? Isn't that awesome? It took me a little bit to get to where I wanted to go. It took me a little bit to find my way following those detour signs. But guess what? I'm here. I reached the place that I wanted to reach. I made it to the destination I wanted to get to. Detours are never fun. I suppose, Brother Steve, I can just open this door and get out of here, right? Now I'm trapped up here and need a detour around this. Nope, can't go that way. I'm really trapped. Help. That's all right. I know how to go back. But we often look at these detours and we find them very frustrating, don't we? We hate it, especially when we're in a rush. Especially we're in that place where we really want to get to where we want to get. And something is delaying us. And something is keeping us from getting there. I don't know about you, but I really don't like detours. I really don't like delays. When I drive and I get in my car and I want to be somewhere, I want to be there. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to go through this. Now, if you were to use a good GPS system, there's an app called Waze. Anybody familiar with the Waze app? Yeah. Works pretty good, doesn't it? Gives you real-time updates, doesn't it? If I was using a real good app like Waze, it would probably give me a real-time update that would tell me that up the road several miles, I'm going to run into a detour. I'm going to run into some traffic. I'm going to run into something that delays me. And then I have the option to take another route to avoid that altogether. You know, in life, we can't always avoid detours, can we? In life, we can't always avoid delays, can we? And you know, when we think about it, we really only have two choices when we run into a detour. We either follow the detour signs until you get back on the path you need to be on to get where you're going, or you try to do it on your own and you say, well, it makes sense to me that there's going to be a lot of traffic because all these cars are going the same detour that I'm going, that maybe I should just come over here and try this route. Have you ever got lost trying another route that was different than the detour? I have. Right? Because I don't know the area. I don't know how to get around. I don't know where to go. At least with the detour signs, it's going to tell me step by step where I need to go, where I need to turn, and that detour is going to take me right back up the road just a little further past whatever it is that I'm going around. And so we can either follow the detour, or we can try to find our way on our own, which usually doesn't work very well. And so it's really not even always the shorter distance that saves you the frustration, right? It's just, and we have to understand that this is just the way it is in life. But you know, we talked about that Waze app, GPS. You know, long before men invented GPS, God had his own GPS. And it was called, and is called, God's positioning system. God's positioning system. And I'm glad tonight that we can look back in the Word of God. We can look through the Scriptures. And that we can learn a whole lot from the successes as well as the failures of God's people through Scripture. When you read the Word of God, we see many successes, but we also see many failures, don't we? Of God's people. And we can learn from those and learn things that help us in our journey. Tonight I am specifically thinking about the Israelites' journey from Egypt that took them through the wilderness, that would have eventually brought them into the land of Canaan that God had promised to them. So just for a little bit of background, we know in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, that God had called Abraham to leave his home and his country to go out into a land that God would show him. That same chapter, verses 5 through 7, tells us that Abram journeyed into the land of Canaan. He passed through the land unto the plain of Moriah. And it was there that God appeared to him and told him, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." This is going to be your land. God also told Abram that his seed would be a stranger in a land that was not theirs, and that they would serve them and be afflicted 400 years. So I'm headed somewhere, but I just want you to have that little bit of background there to understand. And that, if you want that scripture, it tells you that in Genesis 15, 13, and I'll read it to you. "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." Exodus chapter 12, verse 20 tells us that the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So it was being foretold that the children of Israel were going to be enslaved, right? They were going to be brought into slavery. And so when we get into the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, we find where Moses is having this great visitation from God. And Moses is hearing from God, and God is letting Moses know, "I have heard the cry of my people. I have heard them crying out and because of their bondage and the slavery and all that they're in. And Moses, I'm going to raise you up to be a deliverer. Moses, you're going to be the one that's going to bring my people out of bondage." And so we know the story of how that went. We know that, you know, when they first went, Moses and Aaron first went to speak to Pharaoh, they made it harder on them. We know that through the process of time, as Moses would go before Pharaoh and as he would say, "God said, let my people go free," God would bring a plague upon the land. And when the plague would be upon the land, Pharaoh would go, "Go, get out of here, go, go." But the minute that God stayed the plague, "What? You ain't going nowhere." And this happening over and over again. This happening now 9 times, I'm sure that, man, those people must have been pretty exasperated. We just want to go. We just want to be free. We just want to go serve our God. And they can't do it. So through all that process, we eventually come up into Exodus chapter 12, which tells us of the final plague and God's deliverance for his people by means of the Passover. This time, Pharaoh was going to let them go. This time, they were going to be brought out. And I'm getting now to where I want to go, because chapter 13 really begins to tell us the story of how they were faced with the Red Sea. The question tonight is, how did they go from such a miraculous deliverance from slavery to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Right? You look at that and you're like, how did all that happen? Now, bear in your mind that they went through one wilderness to get to the Red Sea and come into another wilderness on the other side of the Red Sea. And this is where they wandered for 40 years. If you'll open up to Exodus chapter 13, I'm going to tell you how it happened that they went the way that they went, according to Scripture. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God," say that word with me, "that God led them." That God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." But God, say that word with me again, but God led, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Basically, there were two ways out of Egypt. One was just a few days' journey, and the other was much further and went through the wilderness. Okay? But God, and let me just say this, from all the Bible maps that I've looked at, the shorter route would have taken them through the land of the Philistines, and they would have actually bypassed the Red Sea. Isn't that amazing? Really, when you think about it? And yet God chose the longer route. So if we had just gone this way, we could have just went through the land of the Philistines, boom, didn't have to go across the Red Sea, right into the land of Canaan. Wow, how easy is that? I mean, doesn't that make sense? But you see, God has his positioning system. God has his positioning system. God chose the longer route, not so that they could just wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but because he was protecting them from the Philistines, who was an awful enemy. Make sense?
God saw what they could not see. And though the route was longer for the way that they went, actually, it was for their protection that God was sending them that route. You see, He was really positioning them by allowing them to face the Red Sea and experience the wilderness. Why? So that they could experience and see God's power and God's provision that would prepare them to go and conquer Canaan. Right? Do you think if God had just sent them, now you think of these people just coming now out of slavery, going up into enemy territory, right? Not prepared to fight, not prepared to go to battle. Yeah, God knew what would happen. The enemy would come out, and what would they do? They would retreat, and they would go right back to Egypt that God had just brought them out of. They wouldn't have been prepared to go into Canaan. But you see, the difficulties of the Red Sea, the difficulties of the wilderness, was where they would experience, it's where they would see the almighty power of God. It is where they would see the provision of God, and it was there where they would be prepared to now go and conquer the promised land. It was in the Red Sea that their enemy would drown. Where God said, hey, you're not going to see them anymore forever. Why? Because God was going to drown them in the Red Sea. It was in the wilderness that God would humble them. It was in the wilderness that God would prove them. God may have sent them the long way around, but He did send them the best way. Oh, they didn't have to wander for 40 years. God didn't send them that way so they would wander for 40 years. Now, that's not it at all. That land was theirs. God promised them the land. They could have just got through that experience and they could have gone right on in and taken the land that God promised them. But some major things arose, didn't it? Boy, they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. They begin to rebel. They begin to look back to Egypt. And yet through it all, God remained faithful to them. When they were hungry, God provided bread. Right? When they were thirsty, God gave them water. Scripture tells us, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 29, that their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. I've had shoes wear out in 2 months. Forget 40 years. I've had outfits that I wore twice, only to find that the whole seam ripped out to where it couldn't be fixed, let alone 40 years. But God's provision for His people. Unfortunately, because of their murmuring and their rebellion, that whole generation didn't get to inherit the promised land. They wandered there till they were all died off, that generation. Why? Because they murmured, they complained, they rebelled against God. But I want to bring this to us tonight in a practical sense that we can look at. And we can realize that for you and I, there is a wilderness between us and our place of promise. There's a wilderness between us and our place of promise. Do you realize tonight that there's a wilderness between you and your place of promise? It's the place where God positions you that takes you from from where you are today to where he would have you be tomorrow. God putting you in position in that wilderness that he can take you from where you are today to where he would have you be tomorrow. There's a lot of things that we can really learn from their experience, isn't there? One of the first things that I think we can and should learn is this. The wilderness is never your final destination. The wilderness is never your final destination. There is no need to die in your wilderness. It's not your final destination. God never intended them to be a final destination. So why die in the wilderness? We have to understand, though, that in our journey and in our walk with God, how many of you would say, I know I have some promises from God that God really wants me to enter into. Can anybody say that tonight? There are promises from God that I know that God wants me to enter into. God is not going to always take you on the shortest or the quickest route to get there. He's not always going to take you on the easiest route to get there. You know, our human nature is to be what? Very impatient. Isn't it true? We live in a society that's an impatient society. I want it now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't even wait till an hour from now. I've got to have it now. I don't have time to wait. Time is ticking. I don't have time to wait. I don't have time to just sit here. I've got to get in there and I've got to find a way around this detour. I know there's signs that are telling me which way to go on this detour, but I'm going to try to find my own route that will be the fastest, quickest route to get me out of this jam that I'm in. Don't we tend to do that if we're not careful? We hate the wilderness. We hate being in the wilderness. But tonight I hope that we can get a little different perspective on the wilderness that will help each and every one of us, because you will, if you're not right now, you will face wilderness experiences. Not if, when. That's it. Not if, when. And how you and I handle those experiences will make all the difference. Isn't that right? So we have to realize that God, in his positioning us and his protection for us, we don't always know what pitfall he may be taking us around by letting us go through the wilderness. We don't always know what he's protecting us from. And we don't always know what he intends to do in us and for us when we are in our wilderness. We have to be careful, because when we're in uncomfortable situations and we're in things that we don't like, we are humans. And we are prone to do exactly what the children of Israel did. Murmur. Gripe. Complain. Isn't that true? Man, I hate being like this. I can't stand it that I have to wait. This is getting ridiculous. well, this is so stupid. I should have been beyond this by now. This is just absolutely frustrating. God, why are you doing this to me? God, what is wrong with you? Don't you see, God? I'm trying to get where you want me to go, and I've got to go through this wilderness, and I've got to face this, and I've got to face that. God, what's wrong with you? I thought you were a good God. I thought you were a merciful God. Look what you're doing to me. Look what you're putting me through. And in turn, look what we put those through who are around us. We don't think about that too often, do we? Huh? Somebody said, you need to go pray. You need to go talk to God. Man, I wasn't in the wilderness, but after 5 minutes talking to you, I feel like I'm in the wilderness. Right? But it's the human nature to just gripe. It's the human nature to complain. It's the human nature to be upset for where we are. We look back and we go, man, it was so much easier before I entered this wilderness. Far less difficulties. You see, every time the children of Israel came across a difficulty, what did they do? They looked back to Egypt. Now I look at that and I go, what are you guys, insane? You were enslaved. That's better than this wilderness? Every time there was a problem, we should have just stayed in Egypt. We would have been better off being in Egypt. Why? I'd be better off in my life if God would have just left me sitting right there in my comfort zone and not brought me into a wilderness that now has me extremely uncomfortable. I would have just been so much better off. It sure did feel safer back there. At least I knew what to expect back there. Well, now I've got all these uncharted waters in front of me. I've never walked this way before. I don't know what's over that mountain. I don't know what's around that corner. I don't know what's there in that bend. I can't see all that. At least when I was in Egypt, I knew what to expect every day. Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was difficult. But at least I knew what to expect. I'm sure that if I wasn't in this wilderness, there'd just be so many less difficulties that I'd have to go through. Crazy, isn't it? But the one thing that we have to come to the place of doing is we've got to trust God. And we have to trust His timing, and we have to trust His plan. And we have to trust the route that He puts us on. Would you remember this tonight? I want you to remember this statement. It's not about the route you take. It's about being prepared to do what God wants you to do when you get there. Do you get that? It's not about the route that you take. It's about being prepared to do what God wants you to do when you get there. You see, sometimes we look at our wilderness as a punishment rather than a place of preparation. This is where I would love to see your perspective change. God does not have me in this wilderness because He's punishing me. No, this is my place of preparation. This wilderness is the place where God works in us the things that we need to gain the land, the promise that He's given us. Right? It's in the wilderness where we really begin to experience God's provision. Where we experience God's power in the wilderness. just think with me a minute here with about the children of Israel tonight and think about what they really experienced. You know, I've experienced a lot of things in the Lord and in this life, but I've never stood before a Red Sea. And I've never seen water just stand up in a heap, making a dry pathway that I could just walk right across the water. Have you? I've never seen that. I've never seen water come out of a rock. I've never seen manna fall from the sky. I mean, I've never seen anything in any way that would be that great. But I have seen Him show His power and show His provision in other ways. I've seen Him in my personal life. You've seen Him in your personal life. We all have different experiences. We all have different, our journey is different. You know, we can call it a wilderness, but your journey is different than mine. God might be taking you to one place while He's taking me to some other place, right? So you might experience things, you might see things, and experience God sometimes in a little different way than I might, or I might than you would, right? But the fact is, we're all experiencing God, God's provision, God's power at work in the wilderness when we are not complaining, when we are not frustrated, when we are not saying, well, I might as well just sit here. This is the way it's going to be. Whatever. Throw my hands up. I'll just give up. I'll give up the idea. I'll give up the plan. I'll just throw it in the trash. It makes no difference. I'm just going to be in this wilderness. I might as well just sit down and die. I might as well just sit down and forget it. There's no use. There's no hope. We have to take the attitude that if God has something for us and God has a promise, land that He wants to take you to, something He wants to bring you into, we've got to take the attitude that I'm not making this my final destination. And I will not die in this wilderness. But I'm going to come out of the wilderness on top. I'm going to come out of the wilderness on top. I'm going to come out of the wilderness with a deeper relationship with God. Because it's in the wilderness where God really transforms our lives. It's in the wilderness where God really conforms us to His image. It's in the wilderness where we really learn to bear fruit. Isn't that true? So I said, well, that's hard to do. Of course it is. That's the very nature of God that we want to be lived out in our lives. The only way that that nature can be lived out in our lives is we have to let that nature have a full reign in our hearts and full reign in our lives. You see, if we're busy grumbling and complaining, we are not busy bearing fruit. True? If we're trying to tell God, you need to hurry up, we're not learning patience, are we? If we're trying to tell God how to do His job, we're not learning how to submit to His will. If we're busy trying to do things our way, we're not busy letting God conform us and transform us to what He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. Oh, it's where our character is refined. You see, in the wilderness, we get put to the test. In the wilderness is where those people that just irritate the daylights out of you are always up in your face. Isn't that right? It's in the wilderness sometimes where everything that could go wrong is going wrong, and you have every opportunity to either grow or be stymied in your walk with God by what you choose. Isn't that true? You know, we're no different than the children of Israel. We can miss what God wants for us if we just wallow in the wilderness. if we just get in the wilderness and grumble and complain. My hope tonight is that we will all be inspired to look at our wilderness as a place of preparation. Let us look at our wilderness as a place where God is refining our character, where He's transforming our lives, where He's changing us into the image of Himself. What is better than that? You see, the wilderness can be a beautiful experience. The wilderness can be a great experience. The wilderness can bring us into higher heights with God, deeper depths with the Almighty God. The wilderness can bring us into a whole new realm in our walk with God. You know, I've been seeking the Lord an awful lot concerning hope for the hurting, trusting for God to lead and God to guide. And to be honest with you, I feel like right now I'm kind of in a wilderness in that aspect. But I'll tell you what, I would not trade this wilderness for 1 minute for what I am experiencing with the Lord. Amen? I don't know all the answers. I don't know everything. And I'm not going to pretend to know everything. But this one thing I know, God guides my footsteps. God directs my path. And I trust God completely. I'll say that as a boast. I trust God completely. Because I know that God has my heart. Like the scripture says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it, how? Whithersoever. He what? He wills. And I have placed my heart into the hand of my Savior. And I can honestly say tonight, He has my heart, so I'm not worried about my steps. Because I'm letting God direct my feet. Not my head. Not my heart, because the Bible tells me my heart can be deceitful. Right? Not my emotions, because our emotions can put us all over the map, can't they? Directs my feet. So I've been in a wilderness for quite a while. I haven't talked a lot about it. I haven't gone around telling everybody, oh, I'm in a wilderness. Right? But early on, I said to God, I said, God, I'm not going to let this frustrate me. God, I am not going to let this detour me. God, I'm not going to grumble and I'm not going to complain. And I said, God, I am going to walk not in front of you, not behind you, but I'm going to walk right in step with you. And I've made that my goal through this wilderness. And even though I can know in my head that I'm in a wilderness and walking through a wilderness, I feel freer in my spirit than I've ever been in my whole life. Go figure. You say, that doesn't make sense. I'm in a wilderness. I'm supposed to be beat down. I'm supposed to grumble. I'm supposed to complain. I'm supposed to feel bad. I'm supposed to whine. And I'm supposed to, you know. Is that how you ever feel? Look at somebody and say, would you like a little cheese with that wine? You know what I mean? This is kind of like, why? Well, no, we're not supposed to do anything. We are supposed to trust God. And we are supposed to look at it to say, God, you've positioned me here for a reason.
And you've positioned me here for a purpose. And Lord, when you decide to move me on out of my wilderness, you will do it. Simple. You know, just as simply as he leads you into it, he can just as simply lead you right out of it. So a few weeks back, I set my heart. So maybe 2-3 weeks now, I set my heart. You know, it may not seem like anything's happening with Hope for the Hurting, but I promise you it's always on my mind. Okay? It's always in my heart. It's always on my mind. I'm always praying about it. I'm always thinking about it. And so I set my heart to seek the Lord. And I told John, I said, I'm going to go up to Yoder and I'm going to go into that camper and I am going to seek the Lord for those days that I'm up there. And I'm going to pray. And that's what I did. Let me just backtrack a minute. This started actually, I'll tell you how long I've been in the wilderness, since 2016. It's a long time. 2016. Back a while ago, John was working up in Cheney. I'm trying to make this short, but he was working up in Cheney and rather than drive back and forth every day to work, we said, let's take the camper and let's just go park at Cheney Lake. And I can use that time to seek the Lord. And I can use that time to just to talk to God while you're at work. Peace. You know what I mean? Just quiet. Just peaceful, quiet. Just me and the deer. You know, during the week, nobody else is there. You're just there by yourself. No hesitation to lift up your voice and pray. During that week, God began to do something in my heart I can't even explain. I can't explain it. But he began to move and he began to work. And I have to honestly say, I'm not looking forward to coming out of the wilderness. I'm enjoying it too much. Now, you might look at me and say, that's crazy, girl. No, it's not crazy. Because the work that God is doing in my heart and in my life, it's worth every minute in the wilderness. Right? I mean, I have, maybe you find this shocking, but I have not arrived. Maybe you find it shocking, but I'm not perfect. You can laugh because neither are you. We're all in the same boat together, aren't we? We are not perfect. We are growing. We are changing. Every day we're being transformed to be like Jesus. Sometimes, though, if we're not careful, if we don't have to face the wilderness, we just kind of ride along. Ooh, this is cool. Everything's just going smooth. Jesus ain't rocking my boat too hard. Right? Every once in a while I feel a little bump in the boat, but he's not really rocking my boat. And then Jesus comes along and he begins to rock your boat. And as he begins to rock your boat, the next thing you know, you've done gone overboard and you're in the wilderness. And God says, good, right where I want you to be. Because this is where I'm going to really do something in your life. And so really, I am enjoying the experience. I'm enjoying the ride because I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be satisfied until I can see all of Jesus in me and none of me in me. Till he has full control of my everything about me, right? Till I'm transformed, till I'm conformed, till I'm bearing all the fruit that he wants me to bear, I'm not going to be satisfied. So I don't mind being in the wilderness. Because I also understand that I must remember it's not about the road I take, it's about being prepared when I get there to do what God wants me to do. So Hope for the Hurting is on my mind every day. I sleep hope for the hurting. I eat hope for the hurting. I think about hope for the hurting. I pray about hope for the hurting. Why? Because God has put that in me. And I went to prayer. I said, John, I'm going to go seek the Lord. I got to pray. And I just want the Lord to direct me. And God had previously told me, one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, listen, if God ain't in a rush, I need not be in a rush. Right? If God's not pushing, I need not be pushing. I know enough. You just don't go up against God like that. It doesn't work out very well. Right? We've probably all found that out a time or two. But this one day I was praying. And as I was praying, the Spirit of God just came down and began to speak to me. I won't tell you all that God spoke to me, but one thing that God said to me was, I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to fear. And he went on to say, he said, while it is silent, I want you to know that I am working behind the scenes. I am setting the stage. I am preparing the things that need to be. I believe God. Amen. You see, we often think God is, if we're not hearing something, that God's doing nothing. Listen, I got news for you. God is always busy. Right? He never sits down in his easy chair, puts his feet up and says, oh, you said I don't feel like working in today. I'll just sit here and do nothing. God is always moving. God is always working. God is always busy. We just don't see what God is doing. Unless God gives us a glimpse into it, we don't always know what God is doing. But this one thing I know, that I take a hold of what God says. And I said to myself, self, and then I answered myself. I said, yeah, talk to me, Judy. We had quite a conversation that day. And my conversation was this. Lord, I ain't doing nothing until you tell me to do something. I'm not doing anything until you say do something. I'm not moving till you say move. And when you say move, I'm going to say which way, God? If you tell me to jump, I'm going to say how high, God? Right? I'm not doing this on my own. I'm not doing this in my own strength and my own ability. I'm going to do this with God, or we're not doing it at all. Make sense? You see, I'm not into building a name. I'm not into trying to do something just for the sake of doing it. Time is short. And whatever we do, I want it to be the right thing. That we don't waste precious time doing things according to what we think versus what God knows. Amen? I tell you that to encourage you. Don't think that hope for the hurting is out the window. It's not. But I'm not moving without God. Not going to happen. Because I also know that the work that we have to do is going to require the power of an almighty God in the hearts and in the lives of the individuals that we touch. And if it takes me being in the wilderness, and if it takes you being in the wilderness to really learn how to experience God's provision and God's power so that you can be prepared to do what God has called you to do when you get there, brother and sister, that's where it's at. And that's what we got to do. I'm not going to go ahead of him. I'm not going to walk behind him, but I'm going to stay in step with him. And in the meantime, until God says, come out of your wilderness, I'm going to say, God, you just keep working right here. Just keep doing what you got to do. Lord, because I have to have more of you to do what you've called me to do. I have to have more of your anointing. I have to have more of your power. I have to have more of the ability that only you can give, Lord. I have to have more of the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. When someone's getting in your face and they're just about, you know, ready to make you just pull every hair you have out of your head, that you can just simply just bear the fruit of the Spirit of God. God, I don't want to come out of the wilderness till you've done prepared me to do what you've called me to do. Every day, transform me yet more, Jesus. Let me be conformed into your image yet more, Jesus. I can't tell you how much I love Jesus tonight. I can't tell you how much I love God tonight. I can't tell you tonight how much I love His working in my heart and in my life and what He's doing. I mean, I have been in the church for years. I've served the Lord for years. But I've entered into a new dimension that I've never been into in my whole entire life. Why? Because I've been willing to stay in the wilderness. And I've been willing to let Him work. I'm not complaining and I'm not grumbling. I'm not fussing with God about it. It's like, God, just keep bringing it on, Lord. Because it's getting sweeter every day. Sometimes it just feels good when God comes down and just rips your heart up. Right? Somebody says, oh, that's so terrible. Don't say that. No, it feels good. It's a wonderful feeling when God just looks right down in your heart and He says, oh, I want to perfect you right there. Oh, I just want to change you right there. I want to just tweak this a little bit. Oh, I want to just get this fruit flowing in your life. Oh, I just want to remove that out of the way. Oh, saints, that's the most beautiful, beautiful experience that there is. Tonight, can we embrace our wilderness? Can we embrace the wilderness that we find ourselves in? Can we look at it with the perspective, this is not a punishment, this is my place of preparation? Do you think tonight that if you could look at it with that perspective, it would change a lot of things? It would really change some things? Boy, it'd start to change how you respond to some things, wouldn't it? It'd start to do a whole lot. Brother and sister, tonight, can I encourage you, embrace the wilderness. Embrace the wilderness. Be like, was it Caleb? When he said, now give me this mountain. Lord, bring it on. If it's going to bring me to the place that I can do what you've called me to do, that I can be what you've intended for me to be, Lord, bring it on. Because it's a wonderful journey. Amen. It's a great journey. Do you love Jesus tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I hope tonight this spoke to somebody's heart. And I hope tonight that you can embrace really the wilderness. Let God give you the perspective. He's preparing me. He's working in me. Nothing more sweet than the great work of God in our hearts and in our lives. And the good thing about God, He just knows how to do it, doesn't He? If I try to conform you and transform you, I'm going to make a mess of you. Isn't that true? But if you let Jesus transform you, if you let Jesus conform you, if you let Him do the work to prepare you for what He has for your life, just remember, you can be busy being changed while you wait. You can be busy being prepared while you wait. Right? And always remember this. God's delays are not his denials. God's delays are not his denials. It's not that God's saying, you know what I mean? I'm not going to take you where you need to be. Sometimes he delays us because he's getting ready to take us, getting us ready to take us where he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this, Lord, word that you've put in my heart, God, and I just thank you for it. And I pray and I ask, Lord, that God, that you would just speak to every heart in every life, and Lord, that God, you would just really move, and Lord, that you would just really work, Father, to God, help each and every one of us, Lord, to embrace. Lord, maybe we're not in the wilderness right now, God. But Lord, maybe we'll be like the children of Israel. We'll come to the wilderness, get through, cross the Red Sea to come into another wilderness, Lord. But God, it doesn't matter, Lord. God, Lord, we know that we are going to face those times. And God, I just pray and I ask, Lord, that God, when we come into those places, Lord, where we are in a wilderness, and God, that we can, Lord, know, Father, that God, if we just submit to the way that you take us, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts and in our lives, and you'll prepare us and make us to be, oh God, all that you want us to be, Father. Lord, just quicken this word to our hearts tonight. And God, we just give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.